Thank you very much for that introduction. As she said, my name is Danielle Cooney. I'm a second-year master's student at the University of Illinois. Due to time constraints and the complexity of the data, I will not be presenting on potassium today, but if you would like more information, I'd be more than willing to follow up with you. As we are all scientists, I think we can appreciate some skills we learned back in third grade. So today I will be following the scientific method with the outline of my presentation. So the problem is the hypoxia zone. As you can see in this graphic, the Midwest is contributing a significant amount to the hypoxic zone. And some of this is coming from agricultural sources. And as you can see from this graph, both non-point and point sources, and the graph here is illustrating that no matter who you are, you have an impact on this particular problem of the hypoxia zone. So we should all care about this issue. Additionally, this issue can lead to things such as trouble to our aquaculture, potentially drinking water issues, which could eventually lead to an increase in diseases. So I personally care about this issue because, as you can see, this is my farm at home, and we do have poor, wet, marginal areas, and we are along a drainage ditch, and so we are indirectly contributing to this issue, especially with our land. We have tile drained, and we have a lot of areas that typically do flood out, leach out, but we don't really have a solution, and since we are in Illinois, we have some of the most productive farm ground, so even though our land is considered more marginal land, we still do put corn and soybeans on. So we have nutrient leasing. We have farmers that are trying to make the most return on investment. And so what possible solution could we come up with? Since this is a bioenergy systems, I think you can allude to what this possible solution would be, and that's utilizing natural perennial grasses. Additionally, these natural perennial grasses can help us reach the billion-ton goal. If you're not familiar with that, I highly recommend that you go to the U.S. Department of Energy and look into it. Additionally, it can be developed for marginal land and serve as a potential forage source, and they can provide habitats and ecosystem services. So now that we have a possible solution, what are some of our motivations? How do we want to set up this study? And so we wanted to see if these perennial energy grasses could actually reduce nutrient loss of key macronutrients, and could this actually be a solution that farmers would want to implement? Since we are agronomists, we have an interest in agronomic factors such as harvest timing, fertilization, and what kind of impact will that have on our nutrient loss. And then additionally, since we are agronomists, we always want to provide the best management practices and try to obtain the most sustainable biomass yield. So for our actual study, we wanted to test the impact that nitrogen fertilization will have upon harvest timing and how that will affect different species. And then in order to do this, we'll be looking at plant tissue concentration, and then we'll also be looking at the biomass yields, and together that equation will create our removal score. So for this experiment, we have a split plot design. The overall factor will be harvest timing, and so there's going to be two harvest timings, anthesis, which will be denoted as harvest timing 1, and after killing frost, which will be denoted as harvest timing 2. The subplot is our species, and so for this study we have four species: prairie cordgrass, which will be denoted as PCG, switchgrass, which will be denoted as SW, Miscanthus gigantus, which will be denoted as MG, and a mixture, which was composed of prairie cordgrass, side oats, gramma, and big blue stem, and this will be denoted as mix. And then the subplot is our nitrogen rates, and we will have the three nitrogen rates present. These samples were harvested in 2014 and 2015, and there's two replications. And then this is just a visual for those who might not be familiar with the species utilized in this study. So this is an overhead view of our experimental design. And so this is the plot. And then in this blue box is Miscanthus. In this red box, it either could be the switchgrass or it could be the mixture. And then this purple box denotes the prairie cordgrass. So this is the location, and as you can see, this is very poor quality ground. In fact, it's classified as a W5, which is wet marginal, and it floods so frequently that the farm advisor actually gave this land away for free, which that means a happy advisor, so that makes a great project. And so it's really a great study to see how these grasses will respond on more of a marginal location. So this is the ANOVA, and as you can see, there's a lot going on here, a lot of significant four-way interactions. But due to time constraints, I'll kind of break it down to some of the lower two-way and three-way interactions. So the first interaction that I'd like to talk about is nitrogen concentration. And we are looking at harvest timing by species. So for harvest one in both 2014 and 2015, we did not see a significant difference. However, we did see a little bit of significance occurring in harvest timing two. One thing that you will notice is that there is quite a little bit of a drop between 2014 and 2015, and this could be due to quite a few different factors, but the one thing that we think could be contributing the most to this is harvest was delayed a little bit in 2015 due to wet seasons, so just a few couple weeks could be creating this kind of variation seen between the same harvest timings. And so one interesting thing too also with the Miscanthus being quite significantly lower in 2015, and that could have been due to just when this was harvested and attributed to the maturity of the stand. So then moving on, we'll look at the species by N-rate interaction. And as you do see, there is a little bit of a positive trend correlating with increasing application of nitrogen. There are some non-significance and a few significance shown throughout, but there's really no key performer that's really standing out. Miscanthus does a little bit in 2014, but then it reverses in 2015. So now to look at the biomass, we do see that the overall trend is that it does increase as the years go on. And again, there's not really much significance happening in 2014, but then in 2015, Miscanthus for harvest timing two really does take off, and that could be again due to the maturity of the stand. So then moving into nitrogen removal in 2014, we don't see any significant differences. There's obviously significance between harvest timing one and harvest timing two. But then going into 2015, we see that switchgrass kind of comes out as one of our stronger performers, especially in harvest timing one. So now to look at the species by N-rate interaction, again in 2014, we see no significant interactions. But then we do see in 2015, again, that increasing trend with nitrogen application and nitrogen removal, and switchgrass is almost in a one-to-one ratio for amount of application applied with the amount of removal. So then moving on to phosphorus concentration, looking at the harvest time by species interaction, we do see significance between harvest timing one and harvest timing two. Within harvest timing one for 2014 and 2015, Miscanthus does seem to be the stronger performer in terms of the amount of concentration within the plant tissue. And then outside of that, there's not really much differentiation between the other species. So then to go into species by NRAIT for phosphorus concentration. In 2015, we don't really see any significance here. But in 2014 and a little bit in 2015, you do see that there is a negative trend with the amount of nitrogen applied and the concentration rate within the plant tissue. So that is just showing that indirect relationship with nitrogen application and phosphorus concentration. But then when we go into phosphorus removal, you do see that the trend does switch back to an upward correlation with nitrogen rate, and this is just showing that the application of nitrogen does have a more significant impact on the overall plant biomass that is produced, and that's outweighing the phosphorus concentration. We don't really see much of a significance between species that's occurring. There is a little bit, though, again, with miscanthus kind of being a little bit higher of a performer than the other three species. So with that, for takeaways, we did see that harvest timing, depending on if you wanted to go with harvest timing 1 and thesis versus harvest timing 2, there was a significant impact. And that then just kind of plays into your decision as a producer at what time you'd want to harvest and what your overall objectives are. For species, as you saw, there's quite a little bit of a variation as to whether miscanthus was the stronger performer or switchgrass, and it all depended on what nutrient. So I think more studies would be appropriate to kind of really dig into what we saw going on here. And then for nitrogen application, again, we saw that it has a significant impact on the biomass, which then impacted the overall removal rates. And it also did show impact on the concentration rates. And so with that, if anyone has any questions, I'd be more than happy to take them at this time. Yes?
You talked both about the concentration and the uptake. If you run through calculating nutrient use efficiency, how efficient the nitrogen rates were used by working through the mathematics on that one, to see did the higher rate, did you take up more or greater fraction of the nitrogen, or did you do any of those types of calculations?
I have not done any of those types of calculations, but that's definitely something that we're interested in potentially looking into to kind of really get a full story. Thank you. Yes.
How do you select your approved nitrogen rates, and what was the nitrogen content of your soil at the plant when you started the experiment?
The concentration of nitrogen to begin with.
Right.
I do not have those numbers off the top of my head, unfortunately.
And how do you select your approved nitrogen rates?
Well, the one would be the general control, and then kind of a mid rate was the 56, and then the 112 is kind of similar to what would be applied in Illinois for conventional cropping systems.
It looks like those areas are kind of environmentally sensitive with all the water and the potential education.
Mm-hmm. So the question was if there would be an environmental impact from the 56 and 112 due to the wet conditions. I mean, that was one very significant occurrence with the flooding, but as you can see, it is still a fairly steady ground condition. There may be some very strong environmental impacts from that area, but I think it's similar to if it was grown for a corn production system. So we're just kind of trying to model what potential farmers might do with that same land, because a lot of farmers in Illinois will take the risk of, even if they have more of a marginal land that does flood, they will still plant just to try and maximize that return on investment. Any other questions? Thank you very much for your attention.